Jesus explained what it would mean to follow him. And for those that are familiar with this next line of scripture that we're going to look at, it almost becomes a bit poetic for us. We're tempted to hear Jesus' words about what it means to follow him and then forget the context in which he spoke them. He just announced he's going to suffer and die. And then he said this. Look at Mark 8, verse 34. Jesus said, "If any of you wants to be my follower," and we'll pause right there. Oh, wait a minute. Where are you going again, Jesus? Oh, yeah. Where are we following you, Jesus? Oh, yeah. "If any of you wants to be my follower," he told them in verse 34, "you must put aside your selfish ambition, shoulder your cross, and follow me." But I'm afraid that there are so few of us who actually heard it presented that way when we first learned about Jesus. When we were first given the chance to accept Christ and receive salvation and escape from sin and hell, how many of us were taught when we were first being evangelized that the cost of sin is death, eternal death? That's what I was taught. I should see a lot of hands go up. When you first heard about Jesus and salvation and heaven and hell, how many of us were taught that the cost of sin is eternal death? We were taught that without our salvation through Jesus, that we would spend eternity suffering where? In hell. This is a very familiar idea because this is how most of us were introduced to Jesus. The reward for accepting this free gift of salvation from God is eternal bliss in heaven, where the streets are paved with gold and no one ever cries. I mean, isn't that the way that it was presented to a lot of us, if not all of us? It never really seemed like much of a decision to me. I mean, if I have to choose between the eternal cost of sin and the eternal gift of God, it seems like an easy choice, doesn't it? Of course we're going to choose heaven over hell. Of course we're going to choose blessings instead of curses and ice cream with Jesus instead of a flaming inferno. Let me be very clear. The very real cost of sin is eternal death. Jesus believed in a real place called hell, where those who are cut off from God because of their sin will suffer for eternity. This is biblical truth. But the bait and switch approach to gaining converts, telling them that following Jesus is all about smiling and laughing, that's a misrepresentation of what Jesus told us. "If any of you wants to be my follower," he told them, "you must put aside your selfish ambition." And when we're trying to sell Jesus to a potential convert by describing all the blessings that a person can get by following Jesus, we're actually endorsing the very selfish ambition that Jesus said we must put aside. It's not about getting to enjoy the comforts of heaven. It's not about singing our favorite songs or getting to enjoy feasting with our friends. Those who choose to follow Jesus are choosing to let go of selfish ambition, releasing control of their lives and desires for their lives. If we're going to follow Jesus, then selfishness has no place in our lives. That is not an easy pill to swallow. If we're going to follow Jesus, selfishness has no place in our lives, none. And when we find selfish ambition has crept its way into our priorities and our goals and our focus, it means we aren't following him. Think that through. If selfishness has crept its way into your priorities, into your focus, into your goals, it means we aren't following Jesus. It wasn't Jesus' priority. His focus was on the mission that God had given him, even when it cost him greatly. And if we're going to follow him, following his example means doing things the way that he did, then we must put aside all selfish ambition. Next, Jesus said, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must shoulder your cross." It's the second part here that he shared with us. You know, Jesus left little to be imagined when he called followers. And I'm here to tell you pointedly, following Christ is a costly choice. It means bearing a cross. Maybe not physically, but emotionally, relationally, spiritually, financially. It means the end of my life. God's word describes our baptism in the very same way. It's the end of life. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. They knew exactly what it meant to take up the cross. But for many of us, I'm afraid that we've over-spiritualized it for far too long. The cross has become a wall decoration for some people, a shiny symbol covered in beautiful brass, a piece of jewelry, or a tattoo. It wasn't any of those things for Jesus or for his disciples listening to him speak that day. When he said being a follower of Christ meant shouldering your cross, their minds immediately went to those regularly occurring executions that the Romans did. They knew that the cross was disgusting and painful. A cross that isn't disgusting isn't a cross. Crucifixion was reserved as the most excruciating means of torture and death for the worst of convicts. Who wants to sign up for that? Following Jesus means taking up a disgusting cross. Not a symbol, not an ornament, not a decoration or a necklace. It meant yielding my life for the purposes of God, whatever the cost, whatever the pain, whatever the price tag attached to it. So Jesus gave us this three-part definition of what it means to follow him. First, he said we must get rid of all selfish ambition. My life isn't about me anymore. And next, he said that we have to shoulder the cross. My life ends in a painful and gruesome way. Third, Jesus said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must follow me. That sounds a little redundant, because it is. Jesus wanted to be exceptionally clear about what it means to follow him, and so he told his disciples, I'm going to suffer and die, and you're invited to follow me. And then just a few lines later, he told them again, I'm going to suffer and die. Don't be confused, disciples. Don't be confused, followers of Christ. If you're going to follow me, this is what it means. I'm going to suffer and die, and you're invited to follow me. As Jesus announced that he was headed towards death, and he gave an invitation to others saying, follow me, not follow me to heaven, not follow me to church or follow me to bliss. No, follow me to the end of your life. Follow me to the cross. Follow me to death. And it wasn't pretty. It wasn't easy. It was costly and damaging. Following Jesus means absolute surrender. He didn't say, believe in the things that I teach, although we should. We should believe in the things that he taught. He didn't say, worship the way I worship or dress the way that I dress. No, he said, follow me. And they knew exactly that following him would mean that whatever happened to Jesus would soon happen to them. If the cross was in Jesus' future, so it was in the future of his followers. Following Jesus means death, and it's the only way. Jesus went on. Look at verse 35. He said, if you try to keep your life for yourself, you'll lose it. Just in case anyone's confused, Jesus makes it perfectly clear. Following him to death is the only way. And if you try to follow, and I put that in quotes because you're not really following, but if you try to follow him without following him to death, if you try to keep your life, as it says here, keeping your selfish ambition, maintaining your priorities, goals, and plans for your hopes and dreams, then the only result will be that you will lose it. The very life that you try to keep will be lost because there is no other way. But he continued in verse 35, if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will find true life. This thing that we've been chasing after, this American dream, this idea of how we could be happy, it's all a facade. It's the cubic zirconia compared to the precious diamond. It's the counterfeit monopoly bills compared to the actual legal tender American dollars. It's the knockoff discount watch compared to the certified Rolex. We call it life, but Jesus said it isn't real. We chase after it, cherishing its veneer, sparkle, and carefully crafted forgery. But if you give up your so-called life for my sake, he said, and for the sake of the good news, Jesus said, then you will find true life. True. The old life, that pattern of chasing after temptation and sin, that struggle for satisfaction, that hopeless pursuit of what can never quench our soul's thirst, that life must die. It has to end. There is no other way. We don't ease ourselves into it gradually. We don't wean ourselves off from our sin. We don't mostly follow Jesus and then get grace for the rest. A person doesn't partially die to Christ. You either die or you live. You either follow Jesus to the cross or you hold on to that facade of life which Jesus said you're going to end up losing anyway. Jesus asked in verse 36, how do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul in the process? Is anything worth more than your soul? I think we know the answer to that question. No. Nothing is worth more than your soul. So don't trade it away, no matter how attractive the offer may appear. Don't be fooled. Count the cost. Following Jesus means sacrifice. You ever get tired of the facade? Tired of playing life, acting like it's giving you what your soul truly craves? Wouldn't you rather have what Jesus described as true life? If you're recognizing that your decision to follow Jesus has been more about the selfish desire to inherit heaven and less about the sacrifice that Jesus said would be required of us, then let's do something about that. Jesus said that it would require surgery, the drastic amputation of things and behaviors and people and places that do not belong in our lives. Look at Mark 9, verse 43. Jesus said, if your hand causes you to sin, what should you do? Cut it off. It's better to go into heaven with only one hand than to go into the unquenchable fires of hell with two hands. Then he said in verse 45, if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It would be better to enter heaven with only one foot than to be thrown into hell with two feet. If your hands are doing things that lead you to sin, sin that always ends at the very same destination, the only destination for sin, death, then cut it out. If your feet are leading you to go down a path that leads to sin, sin that always ends in death, then cut it out. And he's not talking about physical surgery. He's using hyperbole to show us that we must take drastic measures to do whatever it takes to eradicate sin from our lives. Or else, we aren't living. Sin is death in disguise. And so long as it has a place in your life, then your life isn't really life. There isn't the fullness of life in you. Look at verse 47. Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. It is better to enter the kingdom of heaven half blind than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell where the worm never dies and the fire never goes out. For everyone will be purified with fire. I want you to say that last line with me. For everyone will be purified with fire. Who? Everyone. Choose your fire. You don't get to choose whether you're going to be in the fire, but you get to choose which fire you're going to endure. Everyone will end up in one fire or another. So which would you rather choose? The unending fire of hell as a lost sinner or the purifying fire of being a living sacrifice for God? Do you want to hold on to selfish ambition for a facade of life that the creator of life said, well, we're going to lose it anyway? Or are you willing to put yourself completely aside and die for Jesus? Do you want to settle for weekend worship with a few favorite hymns all the while keeping sin in your life? Or would you rather have the guarantee of eternity by laying down your life on the altar, accepting the cross and dying with Christ? Are you ready to quit playing games? Quit ritualizing church and quit chasing a facade? I hope so. Because when you cling to that facade of life, you're clinging to something that will never satisfy. In fact, what it will do is it'll ruin you. And because I love you, I don't want you to do that. I don't want sin to ruin your life or mine. I spent enough time, wasted enough of my life on sin, and I don't want to live that way anymore. The only way is death in Christ. That old life has to die.